You always, whenever you have this gruff voice that you just use. I love the jingle. Use it. It's so funny. I love it. It's classic Will Wilson.
That's his romantic voice.
That's my romantic voice, yeah.
I love you, darling.
Hello, babe. washing's on.
Oh, Jesus.
Welcome to the iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 150. Did I change the number?
Oh, God.
Did I always change the number. You never know the number.
I know. Oh, dear. It's probably episode 153.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I was thinking five.
No, you're turning into John.
Oh, yeah. Wishing the weeks away.
Yeah. Yes, so I'm Will Wilson, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
Hello. Everyone clap. I'll put them back. Just me, otherwise.
Just a single clap.
Yeah, just a slow clap in the background. yeah, Tracy, who is working for Unity in... What's your job title?
Developer Relations.
Developer Relations for Unity. But long-time listeners of the podcast remember Tracy as our iPhone editor.
So, no.
Good. I know. Yeah, I know.
I don't remember that. What are you talking about?
I can't remember.
Well, that was because you were asleep on the job, Keith.
Always. Always asleep on the job.
Burn.
Things haven't changed.
That's why you're doing the podcast now.
Yeah. This is morning for me. This is just woken up.
Yeah. Welcome back, Tracy.
Have you
been since you were last on the podcast? It's been months.
It has been quite a while. The time has actually flown by. I have moved. I was living in Portland, Oregon before when I was working for PG, which was wonderful. But now I'm in San Francisco, California, and I'm working out of Unity's office in San Francisco, which has been fantastic. I honestly love it at Unity. And we can go into more depth later. But yeah, I've been very, very, very good. Very good.
You know what confuses me about American geography is that when you say you move from Oregon to San Francisco, on the map, I can see that that's like two states north, is it? Or is it one state north?
They're side by side, but the distance is enormous.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
compared to the UK, right? Like you can drive from one end of the UK to the other, north, south, in how many hours, would you say?
About five, I'd say.
Five? Yeah, it was 11.
You're burning it.
Well, on a train.
Okay. It's 11 hours driving from Portland to San Francisco. So, significant distance.
It's crazy. It's too big. America's too big. Anyway, let's go on to the news. Let's start with the news.
News!
Of course, Tracy's going to be following blind here because I've only given the news list to Keith, so it's going to be. I only just finished the news list, to be fair. Right, we'll start off with our regular. Well, it's not a regular thing, but it should be the rumor, and it is the iPhone 5 rumor for this week is that the iPhone 5 will have a 4-inch screen. Again, we had this rumor last week as well, but it's another rumor that says it has a 4-inch screen. Truth or fiction?
Do you know that the sad thing is this is probably the most read thing on the website all week, I bet, something like that. Love these kind of stories.
Yeah.
John makes them up, but you know, this one might be real.
Normally John Gus goes off into his fantasy world. He's sitting there with, like, dreaming of things and using saucers, throwing them at walls.
I do believe the next iPhone will have a 4-inch screen, gentlemen. Now leave me to my tea,
he says to his soft toys. Oh, being bad to John, he's not here, but so four-inch screen, it's Maka Takara, I'm sure I've insulted some people by saying it like that, Japanese blog. Hitachi Displays and Sony Mobile Display Corporation, they've begun shipping the 4-inch displays. To be fair, 4-inch displays sounds like a reasonably decent guess.
Yeah, it's a bit like us saying, you know, it's going to have a screen. You know, it's going to have a camera. You know, it's kind of a, yeah, probably kind of rumor.
Yeah, no, it's not a very juicy rumor, is it?
No.
I have to agree with you, Keith. It's like saying it will be able to make calls. Yeah, this is kind of like a given. It's like not really that sexy of a rumor.
Well, the iPhone 4 didn't make calls.
Huh? Maybe that should be the next rumor. It's not going to make calls.
Well, there we go. So 4-inch screen. Mind you, you know, 4 inches apparently nowadays is like passé.
Cause where are you going with this, Will?
I saw an advert on the...
Oh, you're talking about phones. Go on.
Dirty mind. Anyway, yeah, I saw an advert on the tube for the Galaxy Note, which is like 5 billion inches.
Oh, jeez.
It's like so big. I love their advertising for it. It's kind of like, it does everything, except fit in your pocket.
Is it? Is that bigger than the Titan? The HTC?
Yeah, Titan, yeah, yeah. It's the largest one. They're calling it a tablet smartphone.
I saw a Titan in a shop the other day, and I like a big phone, but no.
You're talking about phones here.
It's all kind of wrong that you think, well, no, you know, you might as well. I mean, I mean, my HTC Now is virtually a tablet. You think people laugh at it, it's kind of a bit big, but anything bigger than that, it's just going to be
your
silly.
HTC has a stand. I think when phones have a stand, you've gone too far.
Everyone gets very impressed when I get that out. I do it really casually. I just get it out and put it on the table.
Still
like,
talking about the phone.
Got my stand. What are you talking about? Yes. Well,
yeah. Oh, dear. Okay, enough of that. Okay, so yeah, 4-inch screen, probable. I should put the ding in here.
Ding.
There we go. UKIE has said that Sony and Nintendo should stop making consoles.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the UK Interactive Entertainment Chairman, Andy Payne, speaking at Develop Liverpool.
Yeah, I missed this. This is the one talk I didn't go to. I went to another one.
Excuses come out now.
I went to a nice indie developer one. I thought, you know, it'll be a nice one to go to rather than this one. And it seems like all the juice was in this one. Well, all the juice was at the beginning, as we spoke about last week, and then this.
Well, it's. I think it would be a massive relief to both Sony and Nintendo to become content only. Make games for, I'm not quoting now. Imagine any Mario or Zelda property being on the iPhone or an Android phone. They'd get 10 or 15 quid for it. Oh, they probably would.
Sorry about that. The Wi-Fi got reset.
Oh, no.
We thought we'd upset you.
Yeah, I thought I'd offended you with the fact that Mario and Zelda would be able to be sold for 10 or 15 pounds on iPhone. I love the comment. I love this comment. Just the fact that, they'd get 10 or 15 quid for it because people would want to pay to have it on their phone. And you think to yourself, they get 30 to 40 pounds for it now.
Well, he's probably missing the word more, I guess, is what he's probably suggesting. More people would buy it. I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I think it's a particularly tabloid way of looking at it. In the kind of now or never kind of attitude, it seems to be suggesting that. But I mean, to be honest, the whole of what's this feeling throughout the whole of the develop? There was almost this kind of them and us kind of mentality throughout it. That you had, it was mainly mobile people there, and then you had this kind of small bevy of high end Sony people who weren't especially, you know, keen. And I can imagine this probably came out of that kind of atmosphere that, you know, people were taking sides. So if you take sides, I guess you kind of get pushed to the extremes, don't you? And you end up making a statement like this.
Yeah, it's true. Jason, what do you think about the Vita's launch lineup?
I think the launch lineup is quite impressive.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
You know, because, you know, I mean, the discussion about the launch lineup is different than, do you think it's going to succeed? The platform going to succeed, you know? And I think people are muddling those two topics. And if you just look at the games, particularly the first party stuff, it is very impressive. I mean, they are really hitting it hard right out the gate. And, you know, my concern, though, is we've seen this from Sony before. they did this with PSP too. PSP had a phenomenal launch lineup, right? It had Lumines, we had Ridge Racer, we had...
Was Wipeout in the launch? Or
Wipeout,
just
Wipeout was... I mean, we had some fantastic games and then nothing for 12 months. So my concern is, okay, you're pushing out some great titles on day one, but have you guys managed your release calendar for the first year? Because I don't want holiday 2012 to come and, you know, I don't really, you know, there's nothing more to buy, you know? I mean, that's great that I'm a big Uncharted fan, so I'm really looking forward to Golden Abyss. But, you know, is it better to have that as a launch title and then, you know, nothing in the holiday season, or maybe to hold, you know, Uncharted back for a September, October release, so that way there's something there? I don't know. We'll see.
I'm still worried about the... because, I mean, I've played quite a lot of the launch for Vita, and they're looking impressive. I just... I am worried about the whole price of the games, though. Because it's the main conversation, isn't it, at the moment? That's the real sort of financial divide. Are people willing still to pay £40? I think they would when it's Uncharted, but some of the other titles maybe not so. I mean, Rayman Origins, played that and it was really good. Like, it was beautiful, absolutely amazing little game. But I can't see people popping down £40 on it because it's a platform game. It's a 2D platformer. Yeah. If you get what I mean. It's not Uncharted. Yeah. It doesn't have the big budget. So you don't feel like you're handing over lots of money to get a big budget experience. It's just the 2D platformer. I don't know. I don't know whether that's going to be a factor or not.
I think developers need to take advantage of the flexibility that Sony is extending in terms of pricing, which is very different than Nintendo's, you know, sort of pricing structure on 3DS. You know, I think developers, you know, like, I think Rayman Origins is a fantastic example, right? Because it just isn't going to perform as well as Uncharted or, you know, Call of Duty, which will be coming at some, you know, some later date. You know, those games can sell for £40 because those are big franchises. Now, Rayman is a fantastic franchise, and anybody who's been gaming for a number of years, you know, has played a Rayman game at some point, and they're just great. But the reality is that it's just not as powerful as a franchise. So it's just not going to command that price point. So I think Ubisoft would be in a much more competitive position with that game if they, for example, sold it for £20.
Yeah.
Right? Because
that would be much better.
Oh, it would, and I think they would see a doubling of their downloads, you know, the doubling of their sales as a result, because people would say, hey, that's a gorgeous game. You know, people love side-scrolling platformers, but they don't want to pay full price for them, to be quite frank. You know, so I think more developers should take advantage of that, you know, that I share that concern, Will, you know, about the pricing, because as we've already seen with 3DS, expensive handheld games are really difficult to sell. Have to be the only ones that sell are games from big blockbuster franchises like Mario, right? Like Mario Land 3D is you know, basically resuscitating 3DS, because even you know, none of these games are selling at $40 US. I mean, nobody wants to purchase handheld games when they can get them for 99 cents or free on iPhone and Android.
But the people saying that no one would buy handheld games for £40. I don't think that's true, but I think that there's no middle ground. No one's really saying, well, you know, why don't we? But everyone always goes to the iPhone and says no one would pay more than 69p or 99 cents. But we're about to get onto a game a bit later on today, which I can assure everyone here that people will pay more for, and they'll pay for it in their millions. So that's untrue, and I think it's also untrue that people aren't willing to pay for £40 for a handheld game, because we'll see that happening later, like to next year. But anyway, I'm going to move on. Sorry, I like this discussion, but I've got to move on because I want to get to Backchat a bit later. BioWare is getting ready to release another disappointing mobile RPG spin-off. That's not their words. Their words are that they are going to bring depth, quality, richness, and depth to mobile games. And the way they're going to do it is by basically making another game that isn't like the previous Mass Effect tie-in, Mass Effect Galaxies. We always seem to talk about Mass Effect Galaxies when you're on, Tracy. anyway, yes. So in an interview with Beefjack, who was it that was talking? It was the BioWare co-founders, Dr. Greg Zishuk and Dr. Ray, I want to say Muzak, but it's not. It's Musica. Musica? I don't know. He's probably going to be very offended by that.
You should have just coughed as he was saying it, and you get away with
it. yeah, so he's saying it's important to play to the strengths of whatever format you're making a game for. So we're trying to adapt what we build and tune it to the needs of and desires of our fans across whatever platform they're intending to play it on.
It's kind of, you know,
kind of PR
helpful, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't tune our games for platforms or make games for people to play. We want people to feel a bit annoyed. Anyway, they're going to be bringing another spin-off. I'm sure.
It always strikes me when if a mobile games or handheld game developer says they're going to make a console game, everybody scoffs at that. Oh, you don't know how to make a console game. You've just been developing little mobile games. What do you can't play with the big boys. But when a console developer says they're going to make a mobile game, oh well, they know everything. I think if you want to develop games, that's great, but approach it with a little bit of sort of humility. Like, you're not a mobile games developer. You need to learn. Like a mobile games developer trying to develop a console game has a lot to learn about the elements of design that are that are different from a mobile game. And that's why Mass Effect Galaxies was such a tremendous failure, because they thought, oh yeah, we know what mobile games are. We know what they want. They want these little throwaway games. So we'll make a really bad throwaway game.
Tell you another one that did that. Assassin's Creed Multiplayer.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Terrible. And they had them all on the iPad. Sorry, going back to what I was saying last week. That was their big game they were pushing. Technically, it was the one they most recently released, but they had Monster Burner on one iPad and Assassin's Creed Rearmed on 4.
And Monster Burner is so much better.
I know. It's like, oh, why have you put the multiplayer only rubbish spin-off thing on? Anyway, sorry, I'm getting angry. But yes, you're right. It's odd. But there have been cases where smaller teams from, like, ex-console developers that have come out from bigger console developers have produced some really good games for the touchscreen, because of course there's Epoch, which we will no doubt mention a bit later, and also Extraction, which is very good. They're ex big console people, but they're smaller teams.
Well, I think they have to, because their money's on the line, essentially. Whereas I think a lot of the bigger companies from console and PC can kind of view it as a bit of an experiment, where they're going to kind of. I mean, this is what this statement here has the feeling of. Oh, I mean, like Tracy was kind of saying there, we know what we're doing and we'll show you how it's done, kind of feel to it. And you kind of think you probably won't. But whereas, you know, a lot of these startups have come from people, you know, are laid off at places like Bazaar, and they have to, you know, they either have to learn the trade or they're not going to make any money, because, you know. So I think there's a bit of a difference there, that some of these bigger ones, they can afford to lose money on these kind of things if it doesn't work out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, going from making money to not making that much money at the moment, Microsoft. Well, obviously, as a corporation, so I'm sure they're making a lot of money.
Do you have any money?
No, they don't have any money. Apparently,
Apple money whatsoever. Money.
That's what I read. My mum told me that. Microsoft has released a HTML5 based mobile site that basically says to Android and iPhone users to sample the Windows Phone OS through their handsets. It's quite clever.
It's a nice idea in the one of the feedback I suspect Microsoft had for the last year is that people don't understand how the UI is different to that of Android and iPhone. So in a way, you know, it's a very obvious way to say, come and have a look at it. Problem I have with it is that it actually doesn't make it look very good. I mean, you can see from the screenshot on our news stories, it's just got all of the red blocks at the top, which makes it look very weird. Certainly, I don't know how, about you, Will, but that's not how I kind of aggregate my screen. I like to have the pictures at the top. I like it to look kind of dynamic. And when you use this demo, it does make it look incredibly functional. It feels, for the first time in a way, actually, it feels really Microsoft, because everything is kind of, it's kind of stressing about Word documents and calendars and emails and stuff like that, which isn't what Windows Phone is to me. It's all about the kind of social side and the way it integrates with your pictures and Facebook and all that. And this demo kind of misses that. It kind of, I suppose it's good in a way because it literally shows you what you have to press and how you slide across to view things. But yeah, well, I wasn't that impressed with it. I kind of felt they could have, someone with a bit more of a design ethic could have done a better job of showing how swish it can be. But nice that it works.
It's not even impressing. If it doesn't impress Keith,
this kind of thing frustrates me.
It's not good news for Microsoft. Back to the drawing boards, lads. Anyway, let's go on to a final news story this week. We all know that Infinity Blade came out today as we're recording, but yesterday as you're listening. But where the hell did this one come from? Call of Duty just got released. That's my
your noise, is it?
No actual warning. Just appeared on the App Store. So there we go. I'll talk about it a bit more later. Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies. So the sequel, we should have seen it coming, I guess. It's the zombie mode from Treyarch's last Call of Duty game, which was released.
Never see zombies ever. Coming, Will.
You can. They make. They go,
No, that's drunks.
Sorry, I get confused. Oh, crap. It's illegal to shoot drunks, isn't it?
In Cambridge, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not in Cambridge, sir. Lower classes drink alcohol.
They're not allowed in the city centre, are they?
No, God, no.
Oh, no, God, keep out.
Yeah. You have to show your money as you walk into the city centre.
We don't let anyone from the north in Manchester. They have to stay out.
Anyone from the north?
Yeah, they have to stay out in the provincial areas. We don't let them in the city centre.
Right, let's move on to the new releases. It's a nice link as well. Let's go to new releases.
How is that a nice link?
Shush. This week on the new releases, we're playing Green Farm 2 and Christmasville. Oh, and nothing else. No, there's, of course, those are the two big games out this week. Green Farm 2 is GameLoft's freemium follow-up to Green Farm, which I think you'll all remember I raved about.
I think you meant ranted.
Oh yeah, sorry, no, ranted. That was the one. anyway, so if you really liked Green Farm, got 6 out of 10, and you really want to play Green Farm again but start from scratch, then Green Farm 2 is out now. Although to be fair to Green Farm 2, it's got this sort of cartoony 3D look to it.
I've played this, not this one, the first one, but not yeah. I
might have played Farmville.
No, I've played Green Farm for an unnamed site. It was not good.
Okay. I know which site that is. Christmasville, the Missing Santa Adventures. You see, we're starting with the biggest. How could I not start with these two?
It's got a reindeer on it. Yep.
It's got a reindeer. Santa is missing and Christmas is in danger.
Oh no, that's his hat. I was going to say he's there.
No. He's missing. This looks awesome. You have to.
You know, I'd rather play Kwanzaaville.
But Christmasville is.
Have you seen the icon?
Yeah, I've just seen the icon. It's got a busty woman.
Why, you think it's amazing?
Oh my god.
Wow.
The artwork looks pretty awful, to be honest.
This is. Have you seen one of the screenshots? There's like this army guy who looks like he should be in some sort of. It should be in Soviet Russia standing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It looks like Stalin sat there. Where is this Russia?
Oh my god.
This is
ridiculous. Come, let me show you the real meaning of Christmas.
The meaning of Christmas is compliance.
Is big, busty woman underneath the mistletoe.
It looks amazing.
Carry out your own investigation. What the hell? This is like Christmas noir brothel.
I really like the logo. She's
Elvis's own sunglasses? What? This is bizarre. And then there's Santa in a wife beater t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh,
pretty pissed off as well. Or so drunk.
You made me do that, elves.
Stop your complaining. Stop your complaining.
That reindeer looks like it's taken something, to be honest. Those eyes, they're not natural.
Well, no, his eyes are widened looking at the icon.
Yeah.
He's been out clubbing, I think. It's that kind of
this is
early morning haze, that.
Wow.
Pretty good. 199. Enchanting story. Lots of fabulous characters. Great graphics. And lots of minigames and puzzles. Their words, not mine. Before you all complain. And by the way, the full title is Christmasville, The Missing Santa Adventures.
That's subtle. Yep.
Yeah. Let's get that.
See what they've done there.
Oh, I have to play this. This is...
awesome. What else is that? Nothing could be that. Infinity Blade 2. What's that? Never heard of this game. Chair Entertainment. Unreal. Never heard of that. Some sort of slashing game. Probably talk about.
They're based in the Middle East. I think it's pronounced Kair.
Kair.
Kair. Kair Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. So they're not Russian.
No, I hear they have a subsidiary in Russia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Kair. Oh, I remember them. They did Shadow Cam. Anyway,
Cam. I'm sure there is an iPhone game with that name somewhere.
Yes, so there we go. There's three different styles of combat: standard, dual wielding, two handed, bosses, more than one, and we'll talk about. Well, I'll talk about it later, I think, or I could talk about it now.
Yeah, talk about it now.
All right. It's basically Infinity Blade 1. Okay. You slash the screen. You jump. There's sound errors, though. There are bugs in the sound on release. You can only hear breathing and music, so there's no slashing sounds. I mean, the original wasn't particularly good for the sound.
Sorry, you said slashing, so carry on.
You've heard some of my tapes. Should have done their slashing sounds. Of course, yeah, anyway.
I want to hear these slashing sounds, Will, but it went bloody low for me.
Well, you can't hear them because they're not on Infinity Blade 2. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a double loss.
To be fair, if you liked Infinity Blade and you're not tired out, then...
You don't have an iPad 1.
Then you don't have an iPad 1.
I'm trying to load it on. It won't bugger load.
Yeah, Keith, it doesn't load on either of Keith's.
It's just decided to load on the iPod Touch, but I'm ignoring that fact because I'm annoyed. So I'm focusing on the negative as I like to, and it's not loading. I've just got I can see a lovely logo, but it just sits on the logo and then it goes black. And so I've just posted a very nasty review on the iPod.
There's a story this time and people talking. More so than previously. I mean, people talking in English. For some reason, I don't know why they did that, because I quite like the imaginary language.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. Because then you feel like it's this whole other universe, you know?
Yeah. Actually, it was sort of like fantasy thing, but now they go like, I need to go find the sword. It's like, wait a
minute. I think George Lucas should have probably sued based on your impressions there.
Hujaba solo to Wookie.
Download the Jabba the Hutt skin exclusively in Infinity Blade 2. Only $3.99.
Oh, no, I'll charge a premium for Jabba. Anyway, yeah, so Infinity Blade 2. If you liked Infinity Blade, there's more of it.
It is a damn nice looking game. I will say that.
It is a really nice looking game. I just looking
from the screenshots.
It's nice in motion. I'm a little bit tired out on Infinity Blade. I did all of the upgrading. There's a new upgrading system where you put gems in weapons now, and you start off with the Infinity Blade, it's all a bit. So at least it's consistent between the two different plots.
What have we given it?
Oh, we gave it a high score. I mean, it is a good game.
Silver.
Yeah. So, but just for me, I'm a little bit burnt out.
Well, I don't think it. I mean, I think Infinity Blade was a fantastic game, and I haven't had a chance to sit down with Infinity Blade 2, but I assume it's. I will feel the same way about it as well. I think the chair is doing great work. The problem is, you know, it is a sequel. They haven't, at least from what I know of the game, having not played it, they haven't made a ton of gameplay mechanic changes, which is fine. It is a sequel. But within the span of 12 months releasing a sequel, and you compound that with the fact that so many of the other iOS games that are built with Unreal Engine have basically copied Infinity Blade. The formula is starting to wear.
Yeah.
Because we've now played it, you know, half a dozen times over the last 12 months in various games. You know, so as good as Dark Meadow was, it was essentially Infinity Blade in a different setting. You know, so I am eager to see a new type of game with that engine. And there have been efforts to do that, but they have been extremely poorly done.
Mm.
So
I guess that's the biggest compliment for the original, that it basically made loads of developers go out and go, let's do Infinity Blade again. Although I'm sure they didn't say that to themselves. I'm sure they thought, like, oh, you know, let's make a game that's really fun to play, and then they just so happen to end up with Infinity Blade. let's move on though, because Infinity Blade is out now. I'm sure you guys know that, and it is priced at $4.99, I think, and I can't remember that in dollars. $6.99, $7.99.
Yeah, that sounds right.
also out this week, Bard's Tale.
Hmm.
Oh, welcome back. It's been a while since I've seen that name. I had the original Bard's Tale on the ZX Spectrum. But I can't remember anything about it, other than it was really hard and I couldn't get anywhere. But then I was very young, so I was an idiot, basically. So Bard's Tale. It's resurrected from the dark annals of RPG history, where you play a bard and you go on an epic 3D epic role-playing adventure. The developers are calling it the biggest iOS game ever made, which I think is hard to prove in that biggest isn't the right... How do you measure that?
Yeah, that's subjective. They can get away with saying that, can't they?
Mm. It's got a lot of things, though. I mean, 50 enemy types, not counting bosses. So, like, 55 then. 150 unique items and 14 hours of voice acting.
Well, that's
what
I buy now.
It's a port, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not. It's a little bit misleading because they're couching it as like, oh, we've developed this iOS game. Well, no, I mean technically yes, but not really. It's not like it's an iOS. It's built from scratch.
Well, I don't know. Is it out on other systems as well?
Well, I was under the assumption that it was a port of the console game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we've said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Anthony said anyway. So.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was out on consoles.
Oh, it's an old game. PS2 era game.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh dear.
Right, which is very impressive that's possible.
Yeah, true. I guess so. But yeah. Oh, I thought it was a completely new one. Oh well. Yes, well, Bard's Tale. I mean, it's got 5 stars in the user review so far. It's got 1 user review. but I'm sure
works for PR.
Yeah, it just so happens to work for the PR. Well, let's look for another decent one. What's this one? Big Bot Smash. Oh, I like the name.
Ooh, they could have pulled those 3 names out of the hat, really, couldn't they? Just
looks really bad, so we'll skip that.
I'm watching it now.
Sorry. Ooh, My Gyro Sheriff, a hero will rise. Oh no, it's Chillingo. I should have realised Chillingo would have a game. They didn't have one last week, though. It was a terrible week last week.
No one had any last week.
Welcome back, Chillingo.
We wrote it off last week.
Yeah, we did, actually.
We said iPhone was over last week. Everything. No one was making any
more
games.
They said it died.
It's all finished.
We were going for our console summer period last week. My Gyro Sheriff. Oh, it looks quite nice, actually.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, you use the gyro to aim and sort of 2D cutouts. Indians and aliens pop up. Aliens on a conveyor belt? what? So, yes, it has an epic story full of wacky humour. It doesn't look too bad, to be fair.
It's not too bad.
15 levels to shoot your way through. And priced at 69p or 99 cents. Okay, that's it. I'm not going to do the hours. The hours don't look great.
I don't mind that. That Sparky versus Glutters, that looks all right. That's, you know, my kind of level.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's it. So our recommendations this week are Christmasville, The Missing Santa Adventures.
And how much is that?
Oh, well, I would pay anything.
$1.99, that is.
$1.99.
I've still got it up on my screen.
Check out that logo.
You know, Will, you can see women dressed in far less than that without having to pay $1.99 these days.
You have to pay at least £10.
Don't know what websites you're going to, but yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant, in real life.
No, they won't let you see them in real life. Will you? Your picture is on the door. You're not allowed in those kind of places.
I'm banned. I'm banned from all the ones in Cambridge. but we don't speak of them. Anyway, let's go to back chat. Hello, thank you very much. Thank you, no, please, thank you. okay, calm down. Excellent, great. All right. Welcome to Backchat. That won't make any sense to my guest because there's no sound, but there will be when I put this thing together. Tracy Erickson is with us from Unity and formerly Pocket Gamer. Hello, Tracy. Welcome to Backchat.
Hello.
So Unity growing quite fast. There's more and more Unity games coming out on iPhone and the other systems in this past few months than I could possibly remember. So how's it going?
It's going fantastic. As I'm sure I know you guys are aware, but perhaps the podcast listeners aren't aware of exactly the breadth and sort of scope of what Unity does. You know, we have an engine that runs, you know, most of our games that you see are on iOS, but we support Android, we support Windows PC, Mac, PS3, Xbox 360, Wii, and all of the browsers. We're coming out with support for Flash early next year, so you'll be able to play games in your browser through Flash. And we have plans for other platforms moving into 2012 and beyond. I'm sure you can guess what they are.
Well, that's a good link to my first question. Apparently, Unity won't be supporting Windows Phone 7.
No, we are not. And as was reported on PG.biz,
The reason why Unity won't be supporting Windows Phone 7 is because it's a closed platform, which essentially means that Microsoft says, hey, you know, you can put games and apps on our phone, you know, on our platform, but you have to basically run it through this bit of code that we've provided, and you can't actually take advantage, full access and full advantage of the platform. So, you know, for a software engine like us, for a game engine, we really need access to the full hardware. We can't have parts of the hard, you know, we have to be able to utilize as much power as possible, particularly because we're a 3D engine. You know, we have to have access to the open platform. And without that, our games just aren't going to run as good as they really need to, especially when we look at games like Shadowgun and
I was about to get onto that. I mean, I should really say to the listeners what games are powered by Unity. And as you say, Shadowgun is one of them. That's one of the most recent one running the most recent version of Unity, if I'm right in thinking.
So we've got, I mean, yeah, why don't we talk about, rather than talking about technical stuff, why don't we talk about the games? Because I think it'll be really kind of eye-opening for everyone who's listening to the podcast to really understand that there is a ton of really good content, really good games made with Unity. Everything from really high-end premium games like Shadowgun and Bladeslinger, which is coming out next year, which is a kind of like a sci-fi Western game, to, you know, Battleheart, which is a casual RPG.
Serious Sam Kamikaze Attack?
Which I actually don't like.
Oh, really?
I do not like that game.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Snuggle Truck, then.
Snuggle Truck is a Unity game.
Samurai 2 Vengeance, of course. We've published, I'm cheating a little bit here, because we published top 10 Unity Power games for the iPhone, iPad, and Android just recently.
Which I passed around the link to the company. People were extremely excited. But there are so many times. Zombieville 2 is a Unity title. Gears from Crescent Moon Games is a Unity title. Frisbee Forever. Pocket RPG, Roboto.
This is what I mean, though. I mean, like, there's been absolutely tons of Unity-powered games coming out, and in this past year especially, I'd say. What is it, do you think, that triggered that rush for Unity? I mean, it's probably not a rush. It's more of a sort of building momentum for Unity over, like, say, because, of course, last year, Epic announced they were going to bring Unreal SDK for iPhone developers. So they're in the market as well now, and they're essentially one of your main competitors, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I get this kind of question a lot from people, from developers. You know, say, oh, how do you feel about UDK? How do you feel about Epic? And you guys are kind of butting heads and competing in the space. And I would say, I mean, to some extent, yes, right, because they offer, you know, Epic offers a version of their engine for iOS and Android developers. And, you know, on the flip side, we offer, you know, versions of our engine for console and PC developers. But the reality of the matter is, you know, they're not comparable in the iOS space. You know, their engine has some great features. It's a very professional tool. They have some great features, particularly in terms of scripting, the way that they can do scripting in their engine, which is they have a really cool tool for that. But, you know, there aren't a lot of developers that want, you know, quite frankly, to use UDK on iOS because optimization of their engine is really difficult. It's also a very complex tool. So you often have to spend a lot of time learning their engine, before you're able to really wield it, in a compelling way to be able to, you know, sort of make these games like Infinity Blade 2. The other part of it is, you know, to make a game, a high-end mobile game like Infinity Blade and Infinity Blade 2 and Dark Meadow, you have to have a large team and you have to have a lot of money. You know, Infinity Blade was created with a team, was created by Chair, which has, you know, that team had just under 50 people working on it and a budget of $1 million. Most iOS games don't have those kind of resources. You know, and that's where Unity has been so successful in making the development process very easy. It's a very simple piece of middleware to use. It's a very simple engine, very visual. So it's very easy for developers who don't have a lot of experience, both with game design, but even those who are experienced with game development, they can use Unity, and it's intuitive enough that within a short period of time, they can get a game prototype up and running and then start actually developing the game in full and have it out the door. I mean, it's common in my discussions that I have with the developers that they'll say, oh, I'm working on this game, and here's a build of it. I play it, and I say, how long have you been working on this? Oh, a month. You know, well, okay, that's, you haven't been working on it for very long. When do you plan on releasing it? A month from now. You know, so it can be very, very fast turnaround with Unity on the mobile devices. So, you know, in that sense, it's very attractive. And, you know, we've been working, you know, the company has been working really hard. The developers within Unity, who are fantastic, they're amazingly talented people, have been working very hard to really build out the features of the engine so that more games like Shadowgun that have take advantage of a lot of the more advanced graphics, you know, that are capable on the newer iPhone devices, iPhone 4 and iPhone 4S, iPad 2, you know, so that way more AAA is kind of the buzzword that we use internally. More AAA games can be made with the engine. But the reality of it is that those games are less frequent than sort of the mid-tier games, right? You know, games like Zombieville 2, which are a lot of fun to play, but aren't necessarily huge technical, you know, showpieces. And that's where the bulk of iOS games are, right? Like, it's really great to have games like Shadowgun and Infinity Blade 2, but, you know, those are 1% or less of really what's available on the App Store. And it's those experiences that are very easy to create in Unity. And that's why you're seeing so many Unity games pop up on iOS. And you're going to start to see a lot more in 2012 on these other platforms like PS3 and Xbox. And certainly there's a lot of browser content out there as well. So,
Going back to a point you said, it's you don't need a big budget for Unity games. There was a White House petition on the website, I noticed, by a developer who wants a petition for Unity to start charging money up front for using the engine.
Yeah, well, we saw that. It's kind of funny because there's only one signature on that petition, and it's probably that guy, right? So, you know, it's interesting because the decision that was made before I joined Unity to offer a free version of the engine has basically been the most successful thing that the company has ever done. It has seen an enormous, interest from the developer community in the engine as a result. I mean, that's exactly why they decided to offer a limited version of the engine for free, to get it in the hands of developers and say, hey, look, you know, developing a game isn't just about, you know, loading up an engine with a bunch of features. It's about how easy is the engine to use, and as a factor of that, how easy is it to make a game? Because ultimately, that's what you're using the technology for, is to make a game. So if it's really difficult to use this software tool, and you're struggling to learn, you know, the all of its features, rather than spending time on the actual game design, then it's not a very good tool, is it? So, I mean, that's one of the things I've really enjoyed working at Unity for, is there really is a dedication to helping developers make games.
Do you think there's a sort of risk though? I mean, like with the relatively low barrier to entry and the ease of using Unity in say comparison to Unreal, isn't there a risk that it won't have that same? Because whenever anyone says this is an Unreal Engine powered game, there's a sense that there's a sort of feeling that this game is going to look great. That's like the first thing you think when you think Unreal Engine. But isn't there a risk that if anyone could make games from Unity, and like I have seen some pretty terrible games made with Unity as well games. Isn't there a fear that the actual word Unity for people, it won't get that sort of same association for like, this is for the gamers, like for the people playing the games.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good question, Will. I agree. I mean, you know me, I mean, you know, my time at Pocket Gamer, I was always very honest about how I felt about games. And I agree. I mean, there's a lot of crappy games that are made with our engine. I mean, I think it would be disingenuous to say otherwise, right? I mean, so, you know, that there is a challenge as you provide tools to developers that not all of those developers are going to make great content. But, this, you know, that's true anywhere, right? You know, not everything that Epic touches turns to gold. Not everything that Chilingo does is fantastic. You know what I mean? So it's not a problem that's unique to any one company. But, you know, at the heart of what Unity is about is the idea that we are here to democratize game development. And what that essentially means, that that focus is about not trying to exert, you know, control over the development process, but about opening it up so that people can make whatever games they want with our tools. And, you know, we obviously would want to encourage talent and high quality game development, but it's not really for us. We're not in the position of, you know, dictating who should use our engine and how, you know. So I think, as you know, in the coming year, I certainly think that this year you've seen a lot of really compelling content with that's been made with Unity, and I think that's only going to increase as we go into 2012. You're going to see more console games. You know, one of the things with Epic, they've been very successful and I think deserve a lot of praise for the work they've done with their technology on consoles. You know, they've got some amazing games, right? I mean, they've Batman, Arkham City, there's Bulletstorm, Gears of War, these fantastic AAA consoles.
As a PC player, though.
NPC, right? So. They Unreal Tournament, you know what I mean? So
yeah, not recently though. That's me folding my arms here.
a lot of their brand image, you know, comes from that. You know, I would say to you, you know, on iOS, there's not very much that they have to show for. You know, they have Infinity Blade and Infinity Blade 2. Epoch is pretty good as well, and Dark Meadow. That's it. They've had some pretty bad titles. You know, I'm thinking about Dreamscape, for example. I'm thinking about Dungeon Defenders. You know, these are games that are not well suited to iOS and Android. They're not optimized very well, and quite frankly, they don't look very good. They don't look like, you know, the classic highly polished, you know, Unreal titles. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of a, you know, I agree. Yeah, there is this kind of cachet, this brand that is associated with Epic Games and Unreal. But on mobile, I don't completely buy into that. And I think, you know, especially from you know, and I'll admit, I work at Unity. You know, my perspective is a little biased. I think we are doing some really exciting stuff on iOS and Android that is, quite frankly, much more advanced than what Epic is doing. Because remember, it's not just about graphics. It's about interactivity. What's being done on in terms of social networking? What's being done in terms of, you know, making the development process easier for developers?
The engine is as its word suggests, the thing that drives the whole game. So it's not just the graphical elements. It's all of the stuff in the backgrounds and, you know, how the game communicates to the hardware, isn't it? It's that
right.
It's that point in between. So it a lot of people believe it's just engine based. No, as in, sorry, right. Just graphics based.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
actually,
exactly.
it encompasses a whole lot more than that.
Exactly. And we're doing stuff with AI on iOS and Android that just isn't there with Unreal. We're doing stuff with animations that will be coming out later down the line in 2012 and beyond. We're doing stuff with social networking APIs, which are just basically software tools for developers to more easily integrate Game Center, for example, and OpenFaint in their games. That's not, you know, those tools.
Not Score Loop.
No Score Loop. You know, Score Loop is actually part of BlackBerry now.
Really?
Get with a program.
I don't know. I'm not on the biz side.
So what's interesting, and I have to, there's another thing I want to just get in here before we move on. I also, in addition to working more generally with Unity, doing, you know, coordinating with our development community, helping them, you know, build their games and get them out the door so that they're successful. I also work with a program called Union, which is basically a publishing program specifically geared for Unity developers. And what we do is we take Unity games and we release them on new and emerging platforms like BlackBerry Playbook, like smart TVs, which we'll be launching from a number of manufacturers in 2012.
Windows Phone.
Windows Phone. We're looking at Windows Phone moving forward.
Really?
And basically, we're taking some of the best Unity games like Gears, like Shadowgun, and working to publish them on these new devices. Mm. And I actually manage our portfolio, so I'm actively looking for, you know, if you're a developer and you're building a Unity game, please contact me. I'm always on the lookout for great Unity games. And same for you guys, Will and Keith. If you somehow stumble across a Unity game that's like really awesome and I somehow don't know about it, let me know, because it's a really interesting program that, you know, obviously we're not dealing with platforms that are as huge as iOS or Android. But it's a really cool program because it allows, from a developer's perspective, it allows you to get your game into the hands of even more people. Mm. You know, because the people, for example, that are playing games on a smart TV or on BlackBerry Playbook, they don't have an iOS device. They don't have a console, most likely. So, you know, this is, you know, they're probably not going to have access to your game otherwise. And Union enables you to get your game into the hands of these people. And that's powerful. You know, I mean, that's really what this company is about. And that's why I made the move. It was a tough decision. I loved being a journalist, but, you know, it's, I'm very passionate about games, and that's why I wanted to join Unity, because they really are, you know, we're very serious here about whenever we make a decision to add a feature to the engine or to support a developer as they're building their game or whatever it is, it really is, does this help the game developer? Does this democratize game development? And I think that is very unique to this company. And certainly, you know, if you look to other game companies out there, you know, Zynga is a good example. Like, the focus isn't necessarily on games. It isn't necessarily on the developer.
Thank you very much, Tracy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Backchat.
This is when Will reveals he hasn't actually been recording for the last.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
So that was a great take one, guys. We're going to do take two now. But that's not it. That's not all. Okay, final. I'm going to quickly do. Keith, have you been playing anything this week?
No, you know I haven't. But I wanted to. What I wanted to say was, as typical of me, my initial impression of. What's it called? Sea Stars last week. I wasn't that positive about it. I don't know if you noticed. Well, whether you'd gone off to the toilet.
No, I'd actually, to be honest, I don't normally.
Want to have your tea or something.
I don't normally listen when you speak.
even to my face.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Well, it's good. It means I can insult you. You never notice. But. I've obviously played it for much longer than I literally played it for about 20 minutes before I spoke about it last week, and I was a bit bit negative about it because it is basically Jetpack Joyride underwater with a lot less charm. But I have to say, having finished review days ago, I'm still finding myself playing it. If only because it's one of them endless runners that, in the same way as I tap up Whale Trail all the time, in that you know that when you're when you need something to do for 5 minutes, it's the perfect thing to kind of do for 5 minutes without having to get too involved or so forth. And it is kind of quite, even though it really feels like it should be a freemium game. Everything is based around the idea of you getting bored enough to buy in to pay out for extra coins. It's still, if you are good enough, if you are dedicated enough, you can probably just about get by without them and find yourself posting stupidly long distances. But it's still, I have found myself, I mean, I gave it a 7 in the end. I have found myself dipping into it way beyond when I should probably not be playing it by now. But I have been tapping it into it every now and again.
Oi, oi. On my side, I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies. And I guess I'm going to do this in like 5 minutes, so bear with me. Right, okay, so I'm a big Call of Duty fan. I am not ashamed to say that. Even my profile hints at that by the fact that I say the Tango Down in it. And I've been playing them since the first one. So I've played Zombies on World at War and Black Ops a lot, like all last year and this year. Well, no, all from last year to this year, I've been playing Black Ops Zombies. So I know the first map very well. So I played this new one has literally just that map and the Dead Arcade bonus mode, which is kind of crap. Is the Dead Arcade thing is like Treyarch trying to do a two twin stick shooter, but they get the pacing all wrong, and it was never very good on the console, and doesn't really work still on the iPad or iPhone. It's nice it's there though. But okay, you're only getting one map for your £5 or like $8, which let's be honest here, that's not very good value. However, IdeaWorks has done a really good job of getting it again. They've done a really good job of getting Black Ops, well, the Zombies Call of Duty game onto portables. They've barely made any sort of changes to the maps. There's very few. If you know the maps off by heart, then you'll see them, but you won't if you don't. They've tweaked the AI slightly so you don't have zombies running at you madly and you fumbling. They will run at you, but it's just tweaked slightly. Again, you won't know that unless you've literally spent 8 months playing Zombies. So there we go. But it, as a game, a portable game, it's too long. That's my biggest complaint. I spent the whole of my hour-long train journey and half an hour of it back playing the same game of Zombies. Mind you, I am extremely good at Zombies. I have spent the last year playing it. So, of course, I'm going to be pretty good. In fact, I went up. They have an XP system on this one. Don't know why. It doesn't unlock anything. It's just an XP system because I guess it's Call of Duty, so you need one. You don't really. But anyway, I went up 15 or 16 levels in my first game, which took me an hour and a half, and I got to wave 28. I know this game pretty well. I haven't played it co-op yet, which I'm going to do tonight, and it's always better in co-op. It's fun. I think it's a good game. Trolls are decent. There's three different control selections. I wouldn't say they're perfect. Obviously, it's a touch screen, but they're decent enough. The only issue is that when you tap and hold for an automatic weapon, you have to stand still. Otherwise, it will go and burst fire, and that's not very handy. I think it's a decent game. I think it's all right. The good thing about it compared to the previous Zombies game is the map that they're using, the Kino de Toten, is much better than the Kino de Toten. is much better than any of the maps from World at War because it's bigger, it's more complex, it's got more interesting features about it, it's got more interesting rooms, it's got better weapons because I prefer the Cold War weapons to the World War II weapons. So, you know, and also it's got the FAL. I think it's got the FAL anyway. I haven't picked it up yet, but it should have the FAL, which is better than Modern Warfare 3's Type M1494922. Which is nowhere near as memorable as a FAL. Come on, guys. Why did you change it? FAL, it's so much easier. Also, I could say to people, I use the FAL in Modern Warfare. And they're like, what the hell? You use the FAL? Jeez, that's semi-automatic. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like that, man. Anyway, I'd never say that.
You're wasting all your chatter blinds.
This is my dream. Yeah, this is my dream. Also, then she just swoons and goes, oh, my God.
Oh, she. All right, go, carry on.
Wait. Anyway, yes. So it's got most of the weapons from Black Ops. So it's got the Galil. It's got the weird, crappy SMG thing, which runs out of bullets so damn fast it's not worth it. And it's got pack-a-punch. It's got all of the machines. Another weird thing, the music on the machine's way too loud. Like you're playing with headphones like I was on the train, and you're like, otherwise you won't be able to hear them. You can see them. There's notifiers on the screen, which is nice, but you want to hear the zombies, obviously. And you're running around the map, and you get the speed cola, and all of a sudden you're just... It's like when you're panicking, you go to get the quick and he goes and he's like, whoa, again.
Is he always like this?
I think he's broken his microphone now.
I went to the office.
I can't hear you now.
Hello.
There you are. He's back.
Hello.
Only just.
Really? Hello?
That's better.
All right. Are you just making fun now?
No, you generally kind of disappeared there after having your little attack.
Anyway, yes, so I'm going to hate mixing this there afterwards. But anyway, so it's really annoying. And you go to the options menu and there's two options, music and SFX. So I thought, right, okay, turn the music down, put the SFX up. But no, it's part of the SFX. So so all I managed to do was make the music in between rounds really quiet. And the bit where you pick up the quick revive really loud. So there we go. I have no idea why they did that. That's terrible. But the good news is that Ascension is going to be coming, which is possibly the best Zombies map made. I think it is the best, personally. But again, you're probably going to have to pay money to get it. It's up to you. I need to play the co-op still, as I say, because that's going to be a big draw.
Of course.
And it's Game Center as well, which is always nice to see. I prefer Game Center just purely because it's easier and everyone has it. Yes, the I think I don't know what score I'm gonna give it. Obviously, I haven't played enough of it, leaning towards a 7. I might give it an 8. I don't know. I need to try a bit more. The problem is, of course, I'm approaching this from a real sort of person who played Zombies for a year, so I don't think many of you are gonna get to round 28 or 29 on your first go.
I am throwing down the gauntlet. I didn't know it had taken off that well. I played it a couple of times and then kind of thought,
Well, Zombies?
Yeah. On console. Yeah.
I think you guys should throw a contest. See if anybody can beat your score.
Well, that's my first go. I'll have another go. I'm still trying to get hold of the controls on that one.
Yeah, but I think if someone beat Will's score, I don't think he'd sleep.
I wouldn't sleep. I'd be rude.
He couldn't live with it.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure if I put my heart into it, because I actually kind of wanted to die after an hour and a half. Not physically, but like I just sort of thought, well, I need to have a look at the other section soon. So, anyway.
This is the podcast where Will admitted he wanted to die. That's a...
If I was trying, I'd get to like wave 40.
Oh my god!
It's the wrong audience for this. Well, it really is,
babe.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll play Christmasville.
Yeah, I'm with Tracy on that one. Actually,
I always wanted to play Christmasville.
Santa's in a wife beater, so that wins.
Well, all I've got is Call of Duty. Bloody
no one plays that.
I know. No one likes it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, rubbish game. Anyway, so yes, there's Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies, or COD Blops Zoo, if you want to be weird. And I am weird. So there we go. I think it's all right, but just giving judgment. And that's it. That's this week's podcast. I hope you've all enjoyed this. It's been quite a ride. Remember back at the start, we were on the news. Then we went to the new releases. Wow, that was an adventure. Then Backchat came along. Backchat blew me away, personally. But then, finally, we got to the end. And this is the end. And I'd like to thank all my guests on this week's episode. Keith Andrew.
Yeah.
And Tracy Erickson.
Bye-bye.
That talk show can't come quick enough for you, honestly.
By the way, my agent is open for any bookings, so if you guys want to just contact me anytime you like. No, seriously, anytime. I'm up all night.
By the phone. Please contact him. Please
ring me. Goodbye.